Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Good news out of Washington. The jobless rate in America now below 4%. We'll run down all the numbers and what our labor secretary is saying about those numbers. Today on the show, the American Federation of Musicians out of Albany, New York, and the Better Business Bureau on more scams, including COVID scams. Welcome to the Monday, January 10th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and the platform known as Stitcher. We have two guests on the show today. We have a newcomer. John Van Voorhis is his name. He is president of the Albany, New York Musicians Association. That would be a Local 14 of the AFM. The AFM is the largest organization in the world dedicated to representing the interests of professional musicians, and Local 14 represents many of the finest professional musicians in the Albany Capital District area, which includes members of the two-time Grammy Award Albany Symphony Orchestra. He's got to be pretty proud about that. John has been making music professionally since the age of 15. Plays the clarinet, bass clarinet, saxophone, flute, and piccolo. He has performed with the Schenectady, Albany, Catskill Symphonies, the Joey Thomas Big Band, the George Wonders Orchestra. As a pit orchestra member and backing musician, he has played shows at the Proctor's Theater, Coho's Music Hall, Park Playhouse, and he's played with such luminaries as the late, great Andy Williams, Temptations, Four Tops, Johnny Mathis, Clint Holmes, Ron Carter. Quite a background. We'll talk about the Albany Musicians Association. How has union organizing been helpful to the musicians and what they have done in the community? And they've done a lot. They support, this is Local 14, they support the Albany Fund for Education's Musical Instrument Program. So if someone has an instrument that they're not using, they're asking that they consider donating that instrument to a student who may not otherwise have the opportunity to own, rent, or play one. And I'll tell you, price of musical instruments, like everything else, has skyrocketed. And you got a lot of kids, especially inner city kids, that really want to get into music, and they can't because they can't afford it. So they started that program. I'm sure a lot of the locals have done similar programs on that. But that's just one of the things that John is going to talk about. Speaking of the musicians, I want to salute the Springfield, Massachusetts Symphony Orchestra, the musicians there. And this is Local 171, AFM Local 171 in Massachusetts. They prevailed last week in their National Labor Relations Board case against management for violating federal labor law. They got a restitution of $276,406, which was ordered after the Springfield Symphony Orchestra breached the terms of its last contract with the musicians. Now, the union had offered to drop its NLRB complaint in exchange for the resignation of all six members of the orchestra's self-appointed Board Management Committee, BMC they call it. Well, the musicians have resolved to use the settlement money to produce their own concerts for the Springfield community this year. Isn't that great? Comment here from the committee. Our beloved Springfield Symphony Orchestra has been reduced to a hollow shell by the very people entrusted with its well-being. The musicians believe the board's destructive actions demonstrate that the time has come for its members to depart the organization. Our musicians have given voice to this opinion in their unanimous vote of no confidence for the BMC. So, boy, they took a stand and they won it. $276,000, and that's going to benefit the local community. Sue McConnell is going to be joining us later in the show, and she is the CEO of the Cleveland Better Business Bureau, and we're going to talk about, well, the top scams. We'll run down the top scams of 2021. Third-party payment processing scams, many of those, and COVID testing scams. I came across this story in the last couple of weeks of 2021. Criminals have swindled Americans out of a jarring $585 million through coronavirus and stimulus-related scams since early 2020. Now, this is all according to data collected by the Federal Trade Commission. From January 1, 2020, so that goes back, 2 years, through October of last year, October 14th, the FTC collected 624,500 reports of COVID-19 and stimulus scams that were submitted directly to the agency or partner contributors. A majority of the victims were contacted either by email, websites, and apps or text messages. While people ages 30 to 39 filed the highest number of reports of any age demographic, those aged 60 to 69 lost the most amount of money. We're talking $113 million for that age group. Now, I get that because younger people are going to be more proactive. Whereas the seniors, my God, they just get duped all the time. Medium fraud loss for victims, just under $400, $392. That number rises to $510 for 20-year-olds. And for those 80 and over, $1,000. Four people were charged in a fraud scheme designed to take advantage of New York City's COVID-19 hotel program. Listen to this. A partnership between the city and FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency. The program provided free hotel rooms for up to 14 days for healthcare workers and anyone needing to self-isolate because of the virus. Well, four people charged are accused of securing those rooms by falsely claiming to be healthcare workers and then selling them to others. I tell you, they don't care who they screw. And then there's a vacation and travel. According to the FTC, vacation and travel scams have cost consumers about $81 million since the start of the pandemic and have accounted for 46,000 complaints. One of the most frequent complaints reported, according to the BBB, is consumers purchasing cheap travel through a fraudulent booking service. In another variation, some travelers made purchases with legitimate companies only to be contacted by fraudsters claiming to be a service representative asking for more money. Online shopping. Well, there's all kinds of scams there. I'm sure Sue will pick up on that. There's price gouging and then stimulus checks. Another major issue reported to the FTC and the BBB. Stimulus check scams, where the scammers would send fake checks and ask consumers to pay a small fee to get the rest of the money. The goal was to obtain Social Security numbers. Boy, and once they got that, look out. Just amazing. So we'll cover that and more with Sue McConnell as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Good news out of Washington. The U.S. jobless rate ended last year, 2021, at 3.9%. This is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They came out with the news on Friday. And the deeper you dig into the numbers, the more good news comes, except for black workers. I'll get to that in a minute. Employers claim to create a net of 199,000 jobs last month. So the number of unemployed fell to 6.3 million. Heidi Schierholz, who's president of the Economic Policy Institute, and she noted that a lot of people left their jobs. and got better ones. This is her quote. Looking over the full year 2021 jobs data, it's pretty mind-boggling. We added 6.4 million jobs, and the labor force participation rate rose. Wage growth was strong, and workers were able to quit their jobs to take better ones. New hiring exceeded quitting in every major industry. Now, one of the few negative numbers in the report showed 7.1% of black workers were jobless in December. That's up 0.6% from the month before. The entire burden fell on black women. The seasonally adjusted jobless rate increased from 4.9% in November to 6.2% in December. That's a pretty big jump. Number of jobless black women rose by 151,000 to 651,000. Construction firms and factories showed job gains in December. Construction's jobless rate last month, 5%. And that's half of what it was in December of 2020. If you go back a year, it was 9.6%. Seasonally adjusted factories added 26,000 jobs in December, increasing to 12.58 million. Biggest gains were in machinery and cars and parts. Machinery, 7,700 jobs added. Cars and parts, 4,200. For the year, car and parts plants added 23,300 jobs. Construction firms claim to add a net of 22,000 workers in December, rising to 7.5 million total. 60% of those gains were at non-residential specialty trade contractors. Most of the rest were in heavy and civil engineering. Private service producing firms claim to add 157,000 jobs, rising to 106 million, 5.4 million more than the end of 2020. Most big gainers were in low-paying jobs, bars, restaurants, hospitality, warehousing. Healthcare. One exception to the general increase in low-paying jobs, and that may reflect the pandemic's toll on frontline workers who we know are either sick or burned out. Listen to this. Hospitals shed 5,100 workers in December, down to 5.1 million. They were down 33,000 for the year. Nursing homes lost 5,200 jobs in December alone, and 88,000 for the year. Child daycare shed 3,700 jobs in December. Still had 62,000 more workers than December of 2020. And governments claim to shed 12,000 jobs in December. So those are the numbers out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Scott Paul, who heads the Alliance for American Manufacturing, said, despite the myriad of challenges manufacturing has faced, factory employment made a nice gain in December. As I indicated, 26,000 jobs. He said, I'm confident the United States will continue to gain factory jobs this year so long as infrastructure is robustly implemented and reshoring trends continue. There's a lot that policymakers can do to encourage this growth, including investing in America's own competitiveness. At the same time, we need to hold China and other countries accountable on unfair trade practices. That's from Scott Paul of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. And then Marty Walsh, who heads the Labor Department, said, and he's jumping up and down because the jobless numbers are under 4% nationally. He says this marks the first time unemployment has been under 4% since the pandemic began, and the largest ever one-year drop in the employment rate on record. With strong, steady job growth every month of the Biden-Harris administration, we added 6.4 million jobs last year, reaching 84% of the jobs lost at the start of the pandemic. He goes on to say, in the Department of Labor, we're focused on building an inclusive recovery that lifts up all workers and communities, and that means identifying and addressing persistent inequities as reflected in an increase in black unemployment in December. We're investing in equity and diversity in job training programs and career services, strengthening health and safety, wage and anti-discrimination protections for the most vulnerable workers, and making sure that the president's bipartisan infrastructure law creates good jobs for every community. It's Marty Walsh of the Labor Department. All right, we're going to break. When we come back, John Van Voris of the Albany chapter of the American Federation of Musicians.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. We'll be checking in with them 1 week from tomorrow. Right now, let's go to Albany, New York. And joining us is John Van Voris, who is president of the Albany Musicians Association. That would be Local 14. Website is albanymusiciansunion.com. Albanymusiciansunion.com. And as I indicated, John has been president, what is it, for 6 years now, and then vice president before that. Is that right, John? And welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yes, I was vice president for about 4 years, and then president now for about six. You're right.
And a member for 20 years. All right, talk to me about, first of all, when you were a kid, is that when you decided to become a musician? What instrument did you pick up at the time? And talk to me about your age. I'd like to hear that story.
Oh, sure. When I was about 10 years old, our school started the band, I started in the band program at my school, and I chose the clarinet at that time because my father played the clarinet when he was a kid throughout his high school years. And, it really stuck with me, something that I really took to and was very interested in all throughout school, and decided to, major in music in college too. That was back in the 70s when I started playing the clarinet. So, I'm 57 now, so that's 47 years on the clarinet.
That's a long time, no doubt. Where did you go to school?
I went to the College of St. Rose here in Albany, New York.
And you specialize in music then, right?
Yes, I specialized in the clarinet, the flute, and the saxophone.
So, John, did you embark on like a professional career as a musician? Talk to me about that part.
Yes, I've been a professional musician now since, the age of 15, really, playing with different groups throughout the area, different things like playing at musical theater as well as, you know, some touring acts that came to Albany, and also, you know, different groups that play weddings and that sort of thing. And I've been doing that for a very long time.
And then that just took you to the union, the American Federation of Musicians Union and Local 14, is that right?
Right. I joined the union, you know, 20-ish, maybe more years ago, in my 20s sometime. And, you know, it was important to me because not only the way that I could meet other musicians and you know, get more opportunities to play, but also because I thought it was important that we all work together to get, as you know, the best situation we can for musicians, whether it be pay rates, whether it be treatment of musicians, or, you know, and that sort of thing.
So you found your way. It took a number of years, but you found your ways to the Albany Musicians Association and the union, Local 14. Talk to me about Local 14. How many members and how we doing in Albany, New York today, especially with this pandemic thing?
Well, sure. We have about 310 members right now, both local folks who live local and then folks who also come in to play music for other events, such as the Albany Symphony Orchestra. And, you know, we're doing pretty well. We started just before the pandemic, we started an arm off the union, a 501c3 corporation, where we are able to accept donations, apply for grants and whatnot to provide music to folks who are otherwise who wouldn't be able to attend live music. So during the pandemic, in partnership with the Music Performance Trust Fund, which is a fund that the American Federation of Musicians had started, also a 501c3, I believe, we were able to get work for musicians via streaming and pay them money for that. So we were doing our best to, you know, get through the pandemic, although everything was shut down, basically. We were able to get some playing opportunities streamed for our musicians.
And how are we doing now with this variant? First of all, how bad is it over in the New York area? Because I know a lot of like schools have gone remote as a result of that. I'm just wondering how it's affecting your profession.
Well, just like everything else, we in Albany are pretty deeply affected with the Omicron variant. We still do have some things that are going on. We have a local musical theater that is still happening. We still have the Albany Symphony is still putting on concerts. Some of the local bars and clubs, some of them are still, you know, having music. So we're doing, you know, we're getting by.
Yeah. You're making it happen in crazy times. Yeah, I hear you. Hey, yeah. Congratulations, by the way. I was reading on your website that the Albany Symphony Orchestra, two-time Grammy Award winner, right? That's a nice accomplishment.
Right.
When did that happen?
Yes, just this past year was their second, and I wish I could tell you when exactly the first one was, but it was a couple of years ago that they won Grammy Awards. They're very talented group of musicians for sure, and everyone is a member of the Local 14.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was reading earlier your bio on some of the well-known groups and luminaries that you played with, including Andy Williams, The Temptations, The Four Tops, Johnny Mathis. Let's talk a little bit about that. Was this all in the Albany area then?
In our region, sure, for sure. We have a sister local over in Schenectady, which is really only about 20 miles away from us. And they have a theater there called Proctor's Theater. And, you know, I'm a member of that local as well. And I've played with those folks when they came to town throughout the years. And you know, they have musicals over there and whatnot as well. A lot of our union brothers and sisters, both in the Schenectady local and the Albany local, will, you know, from time to time play with folks who come to the area.
So, John, can you maybe give us some details on that, how that went for you? And I'm sure that created some degree of excitement in the area, right?
Oh, sure. I mean, we do have several theaters throughout the area who bring in local acts, and you know, we have union membership and a union relationship with those theaters. So, you know, when they do hire local musicians, you know, they do come to the union and for you know, providing musicians.
Sure.
Many of the acts that used to hire, you know, are kind of getting older now, and the newer acts tend to bring their own musicians. So, you know, the market isn't quite as large as it used to be for the traveling acts.
Right, right. What's the rest of the year look like? Anything coming up that we could call attention to? Big names that might be coming through the area?
Well, you know, a lot of them are postponing because of COVID, for sure. So we're not exactly sure what's going to be happening going forward. The theatrical stuff is still happening with our sister local in Schenectady. And so, you know, that's a great thing. There aren't any groups coming to Albany that are hiring local musicians as of yet. And I know a couple of them have canceled with the COVID. So I don't know. You know, we're hopeful that once maybe the summer comes, you know, things will open up a little bit.
I think we're all hoping for that, John. John, I got to take a quick break. John Van Voorhis is his name. He's president of Local 14 of the Albany Musicians Association. Website is albanymusiciansunion.com. They have 310 members in the Albany, New York area. We'll talk about organizing next. Later in the show, Sue McConnell, on behalf of the Better Business Bureau, is going to talk about scams, many of them COVID scams. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, we're available on 6 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We always like those 5-star ratings, so please keep them coming. Let's go back to Albany, New York right now and rejoin John Van Voorhis. John is president of Local 14 of the American Federation of Musicians. And I want to talk about organizing, and I'll tell you, there's always a fight going on somewhere in America when it comes to union versus non-union. John, you were telling me off the air here a little bit about what Home Box Office, better known as HBO, What happened in your area there? And tell me the results of that conflict. Go ahead.
Oh, great. The last spring, May-ish, I guess, HBO was filming a production called The Gilded Age here in Troy, New York, which is part of our local. You know, they were doing a great job with making it back to the 1800s, I guess. And they hired musicians to do what they call sidelining. And what that means is, you know, the musicians came in, brought their period instruments and whatnot, had their regular instruments made period looking kind of thing. And what happened was, so they hired the musicians because they wanted them to look like musicians, you know, playing the instruments rather than just any actor could, you know, being thrown the instrument. So what happened was some of the work that they were promised was going away. And, you know, the amount of money that was promised was leaving as well. So, you know, the musicians contacted the union and, you know, asked if we could organize their group, about 30 people. So we did that. We were, you know, we got, it was a little bit of a struggle to get everybody on board because they hired both union and non-union musicians to play, but we got a good chunk of them to agree to organize, enough so that we, you know, sent a letter with, by the way, it was a great guidance from the American Federation of Musicians on this. We told HBO we were going to organize, mm-hmm. and they ended up doing the usual union busting tactics, saying, you know, we will not recognize the union, which is strange because they were working with the Teamsters, the Actors Union, you know, the stagehands, IATSE is the name of their union. They, you know, they were working with them already. Why they wouldn't let agree, you know, just agree to recognize the musicians union, I don't know. However, they told the union musicians that they would not let you know, the union, the musicians union have standing. So what we ended up doing was, you know, kept telling them we wanted to be unionized. We wanted to be unionized. And so what they did was they organized a meeting very hastily with the musicians and offered them union scale, but said, we will not sign a contract.
Jeez.
So they were all fired by the production company. So, you know, which we all know is illegal.
Right.
So what they ended up doing, what we ended up doing is we got a press release from our local politicians, state legislators, wrote up a press release in our favor. We got press coverage by both the local paper, a couple of TV stations. What ended up happening is the American Federation of Musicians, our president, Ray Hare, filed an unfair labor practices charge with the NLRB, National Labor Relations Board. And eventually the heat really came down where they said, okay, well, we'll recognize the musicians as part of the actors union. Well,
what?
You know, you don't get they don't get to choose what union the musicians would be in. And, you know, the actors, very talented, but have their own needs, where, you know, musicians have their own needs too.
Right.
For example, you know, if a stage light were to fall on a double bass and break the $10,000 instrument, you know, that's not part of the actor's contract because they don't have double basses. So, you know, that's just an example. But, you know, we just wanted to be treated fairly, be paid residuals and whatnot, just like everybody else, under a contract of our choosing. After all the pressure that we put on, HBO did formally recognize and sign on to the national media contract. You know, most other many other, I should say, you know, media outlets, you know, TV, movie, sign on to the national contract, but HBO did not. They agreed to sign on to the national agreement for this particular production. So, you know, we did have a great victory there. And you know, that was really the members organizing themselves with our guidance, and for sure a lot of help from the American Federation of Musicians.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's amazing that they were trying to tell the musicians which union to join. That would be the Screen Actors Guild, right? That's the one they wanted them to join?
You're right. You're right. We did have support from the actors, too. So, you know, we our organizer with the American Federation of Musicians had contacts with some of the actors, and, you know, luckily they also joined and were voicing their displeasure with the management. So they helped us with the pressure as well.
John, let me ask you, after going through that craziness that you went through with HBO, did that kind of galvanize your local 14 and say, hey, you know what? This is just another example of how these non-union companies, and HBO is huge company, how they try to take advantage of people. Did that thing happen? Did that kind of thing happen in Albany?
Well, we've been trying to use that for organized musicians who, you know, wouldn't otherwise think about joining the union. And we've had some success with that. We've also had great success, as I mentioned earlier, with the streaming and, you know, showing that, you know, being part of the union, we all work together to try to make the scene as best as we can for everyone.
Right. Well, hats off to what you have done in the community. I saw this on your website about the donation program, the instrument donation program, going to the community and say, hey, if you got an instrument that you're not using, donate it and we'll get it to someone who can't afford that instrument. How long has that been going on, and how successful has it been, John?
Well, we've paired with the Albany City School District, where there's, you know, different levels of affluence. I would, you know, different levels of income, I guess. And we've done pretty well with that. I've donated a couple myself, and we've had other people donate instruments, that, and it's worked out really well. You know, we feel that we're not only, you know, here for, you know, helping out our members, but we feel a kind of a responsibility to the community at large, which is, you know, why we put on those concerts and started the side 501c3 to bring music to folks who are, you know, senior centers and underprivileged folks, so they can be able, and we go into communities so that we can bring them music, live music as well. So we feel that we feel a responsibility to the community at large as well.
That's awesome. Well, I salute you and all the members of Local 14. I'm speaking with John Van Voris, who is president for 4 years now of Local 14 of the American Federation of Musicians out of Albany, New York. If you want to get some more information, go to albanymusiciansunion.com. albanymusiciansunion.com. John, great job. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep up the fight. If you got any other HBOs, similar stories like that, keep us posted and we'll get the word out, okay?
Great. Thank you for having me.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sue McConnell, more scams to start off the new year. She'll run them down next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America. delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans. And we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers. And we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two. Welcome back to the show. Sue McConnell, CEO of the Better Business Bureau, and the national website is BBB.org. And we've got scams for the old year and scams for the new year. Hey, Sue McConnell, welcome back to the show, and happy new year to you and your staff at the Better Business Bureau. How are we doing today? Yeah, thank you for joining us today. COVID testing scams. You got to talk to me about this because I know in the last couple of years there's all kind of scams. You got government money coming in. People figure out ways to tap into that. I read a story earlier about some hotel rooms in New York City that were designated for healthcare workers, and apparently some people posed as healthcare workers and then sold them off to other people. It's just crazy what's going on. But what's going on with these testing scams right now? Because everybody wants a COVID test. So what's the story?
That's exactly the point. Everybody's looking for a test, either to purchase in-home tests or to get a test somewhere. So of course, scammers have bounced all over this, and they're doing a couple of different things. One is scammers selling testing kits that are not approved by the FDA. So they put them up on websites, and in doing so, in order to get the test, you know, normally when you want to schedule a test, you have to provide some information about yourself, including personal information, as well as health insurance information. So, but just by putting up a phony site claiming to either schedule a test or provide in-home testing, scammers are able to collect a lot of personal information. And these tests, again, are bogus. If they're sending you a test or selling you a test, you never want to buy a COVID test that's not FDA approved. And you can go to the Food and Drug Administration's website and see a list of approved in-home tests. The other thing we're hearing about is robocallers that are calling claiming to be a clinic offering tests or a medical supply company offering to sell you a test to do at home. And of course, these scammers are not a clinic at all. And they're, again, just trying to collect personal information from you. And if they are offering to provide you a test, it's not going to be a reliable test. You won't get accurate results from it. So we're just warning people to be aware that scammers are, they know that we're looking for tests, desperately looking to get a test, whether at a clinic or in home. So they're reaching out to tell you that they have these items available, but they want to get information from you. And if they get your health insurance information, they can also use that to conduct medical identity theft, and just all this personal information you're providing is just very scary because you don't know whose hands it's getting into and what they'll be able to do with it later.
Wow. And the bottom line is to, you know, get as much information as you indicated, health information, which could lead to your social security number. And once they have your social security number, look out, it's pretty much over after that. scary stuff. Let's talk about these processing scams, third-party payment, and then we'll get into some of the top scams of last year. What's the story on the on these processing scams, Sue?
Well, these scammers are imitating third-party payment processors like PayPal, Venmo, and Cash App. And these are very popular apps to conduct transactions. And what's happening is the scammers reach out to you and they claim to be PayPal or Venmo or Cash App. One consumer told us that he got an email from what he thought was PayPal, and they didn't even have a PayPal account. But the email said that this consumer had purchased over $700 worth of merchandise from a company and provided the invoice number and a customer service number to call and cancel the transaction. Well, not wanting to be on the hook for over $700, the consumer called the number, and he ended up being on the phone with this person, the scammer, for, he said, about an hour. And the consumer was instructed to download this mobile app, provide his bank account information, and at some point the consumer realized, this isn't for real, this is just a scammer that's trying to get me to provide my credentials, provide my bank account. Another consumer told us that they were approached with a similar scam, and the scammer wanted them to download an app called AnyDesk and open their Cash App account and also send a picture of their driver's license front and back.
Oh, jeez.
You know, they're again, just trying to scare you into thinking that you're going to be on the hook for a large purchase or that your payment processing app has been hacked. And then they try to get your credentials, and they try to get you to download software, which will give them access to your app, and then they can just start taking all your money. So
if you get a
call like this or any kind of communication, don't respond to it. Go directly to your Cash App. Go online. See what their contact information is. Reach out to them directly and see if this is at all legitimate.
Yeah, yeah. The bottom line here, you know, they're taking baby steps and they're trying to build some confidence with you. I'm talking about the scammer to the person being scammed. And eventually, you know, you feel comfortable and a lot of people start getting more and more information. They don't even realize how much information they're given. It's really sad.
You're absolutely right, because they make themselves sound so believable. You know, they're very good at being a criminal, and they are very convincing. And people are, they gain confidence, like you said, and before you know it, you've provided all kinds of information.
Let's talk about the top scams of 2021, and I know there are many, so let's run down a few here, Sue. Go ahead.
All right. Well, these are based on reports that come into our scam tracker site, bbb.org/scam tracker. Which is a site you can go to report scams that have solicited you, or you can see what's going on in your area with scams. So we'll start from the bottom with the 10th one, which was fake checks and money orders. These are typically tied to other scams. Could be a job scam, could be a lottery scam, any scam where you are sent a check, you're told to deposit it in your bank account, and then you're told to withdraw most of it and do something with it. And that something always gets that money in the hands of the scam artist. And then later the bank notifies you that the check is counterfeit and you have to repay all those funds back to the bank. Identity theft was number 9. You know, this is always around. We've seen all kinds of attempts, like we just talked about with the COVID test scams, where they are trying to get you to provide Social Security number, birth date, just personal information that they can use then to steal your identity, take out loans in your name, do various things in your name, and transact business without your authorization using your personal information. Next, going up the list was employment scams, job scams. Typically, these occur when a phony employer reaches out to you, you've had your resume posted online, and they offer you some sort of lucrative job. You can work from home. It pays well. And then they either send you a fake check that they'll want you to deposit, in order to buy supplies or do something to get this job. Or just in the process of hiring you, they may have you complete an application form, which again asks you for a lot of personal information and again subjects you to possible identity theft. So employment scams were still there. Going on up, debt collection, lots of different types of phony debt collection attempts. Could be a utility claiming that you owe a substantial bill, and if you don't pay it immediately, you could have your electricity shut off or gas shut off, which is very concerning in the winter, or if you are a business that needs to have customers in. Or they may claim to be the IRS, then you owe back taxes. So if you ever are approached by a call claiming that you owe money and that if you don't pay it immediately, you're going to be subjected to a lawsuit or arrest, don't panic. It's probably a scam. And don't provide payment. They'll typically want you to wire money or maybe even give them gift cards to pay. Those are red flags that you're dealing with a scam. So don't panic. Just don't pay it and ignore it. Government grant scams are like in the middle of our top 10. We see these a lot. Sometimes they're served up to you on social media. One of your friends has a Facebook account hacked, and you get an instant message or a personal message from this friend telling you how they just got thousands and thousands of dollars from this government grant. And if you go to this Facebook page or you go to this website, you can do the same thing. And if you go to that Facebook page or website, you're then, it seems very believable. They'll have testimonials from people who got money, but they're going to want you to pay some sort of a fee up front. Could be $1,000, $2,000, but you are being told that after you pay, you could get $15,000 or $20,000 from this government grant. Well, government grants don't work like that. They're usually for specific purposes, research or such things. And the government is not out there just casting a wide net looking to give away tens of thousands of dollars and making you pay up front to get that money. So be aware the government grant scams are still very popular. Fifth on our list, the top of the top 10 were tech support scams. These scams reach out to you either through windows that pop up while you're on your computer, posing as Microsoft, claiming that you have a very dangerous virus on your computer or your device. And you call a phone number, and this person on the other end claims to be Microsoft. They'll help you. They want you to download software or give them access to your computer and even pay several hundred dollars. And supposedly they're wiping your computer free of this virus, but all they're really doing is downloading more nasty software on your computer.
Oh,
and
boy.
This is not Microsoft. That's not, again, they're not going to reach out to you and tell you you have a virus and we are here to help you fix it for several hundred dollars. If they gain access to your computer, of course, they can gain access to passwords to your bank accounts and other personal sensitive
sure.
sites.
Sue, we're running a little short on time. If you don't mind, can you just give us number two and number one, the top scams for 2021?
Certainly. Number two was online purchase scams. Anytime you buy something online, make sure you're dealing with a legitimate seller. This goes for anything from clothing to pets. A lot of scam artists sell counterfeit merchandise online. That's always an issue. And phishing was actually our top scam. All these other attempts we've talked about where scammers try to get your personal information through fear of something and wanting you to act urgently. So mm-hmm. guard your personal information very closely. And all of these are on our website at bbb.org /Cleveland. You can see the list that I was just talking about.
Very, very good. Yeah, when there's information, there's money to be gained. No doubt about that. Good stuff, Sue. You take care. We'll be talking down the road. I'm sure there'll be many more scams to report on, okay?
Not a problem. Thank you.
And the national website is bbb.org. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the Communication Workers of America and the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.